Welcome to the Delta Flyers Journey Through the Wormhole with Dax, your super science officer, Quark, your beloved businessman, Tom, your popular pilot, and Harry, your eternal ensign. Your hosts for today are my fellow Trek actors, Terry Farrell, Robert Duncan McNeil, and of course myself, Garrett Wong. For the complete and amazing version of this podcast, please check out patreon.com/thedeltaflyers and sign up to become a patron today. Hello, Robbie and Terry.
Well, hello there.
Hey. I feel bad because I don't rhyme with you guys. Think about that. Robbie, Terry, Garrity. No, doesn't work.
No, doesn't work. Gary.
I don't want to be Gary. No. Every time I meet people and I say, my name's Garrett, they go, Gary? Sorry for all you Garys out there.
You're called Garrett, but you're on your birth certificate. What is the name?
Okay. On my birth certificate, it is... I have a Chinese name as well.
Terry, what is your full name?
My full name is Teresa Lee Farrell.
That's L-E-E. My sister's middle name.
Get
but
out.
It Lee, yeah, but her middle name is L-E-I-G-H.
Oh, like Vivian Lee.
Yeah.
That's prettier. My aunt has Lee, L-E-E.
Your acronym for your initials for your name.
TLF, True Love Forever.
Oh, I was going to say Tender Loving Feelings, but okay.
Oh,
you don't want
to. Yeah, mine's sort of like, I sort of picked the obvious.
Oh my goodness.
There are some birthdays to talk about.
Starting with AJ. Happy birthday to AJ, August 28th. Happy birthday, AJ.
Happy birthday, AJ.
Happy birthday, AJ.
And we've also got Jadzia Mahari on August 30th. Jadzia, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jadzia.
Happy birthday, Jadzia. Your namesake, or at least your character's namesake. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think Jadzia Mahari was named after your character. I'm going to guess. So,
yeah. Take a wild stab in the dark.
Wild stab in the dark. Okay.
Haley Lugo, August 31st. Happy birthday, Haley.
Happy birthday, Haley.
Happy birthday, Haley. And finally, last but not least, Mr. Patrick Carlin, happy birthday, September 6th. Happy birthday, Patrick.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. My poem for playing God goes a little something like this. An initiate named Arjun arrives on the vessel, hoping to be the candidate who was very special. A proto-universe could destroy the station. There's a vole infestation, but I didn't know Dax knew how to wrestle. Thank you.
Excellent job.
Look at that obscure reference about wrestling. Was there like one line in there about that?
Is
that
what you got and, that from? Well, that
love,
whole scene to me,
when
the guy
wrestling.
When the guy answers the door and then you're like, what is going on here? Yeah. And then he leaves and then she says, oh, it's my wrestling coach. It was just very well.
It's so weird.
That whole scene was awesome. Oh, it made me pay attention.
Yeah.
It did. We were all paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like I'm waltzing in with my towel.
Yeah, with your
like
towel.
Like it's no big deal. And I do that for everybody. Just come on in.
Here's my haiku for playing God. Dax, the field docent. Universe stuck to nacelle. Arjun pilots well.
There you go. That's my and you had a rhyme in there, nacelle and well.
I didn't even mean that. It just came up like that. So there you
go. I think that's kind of great.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
You kind of surprised me there. And it was kind of long too, which was
thank you.
Like getting a little extra. Dax's initiate is a bit of a troll, while O'Brien is reduced to pest control. Kira wants to eliminate the proto-universe. It's expanding at a rate that's perverse. Not to worry, all ends well. It's DS9. We give him hell.
Nice. Wow, that's a different quality. There was more of a whimsicalness to your poetry, more so than usual, Terry. A lot of your poetry from the past is very sit there and I think
emotional
about it.
Emotional and deep.
Yeah. It's moving and it's like deep in thought and it makes you become very introspective. And this one was, it felt like you had more fun with it in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I did.
Okay. Garrett, tell us about these people.
Well, first of all, Robbie, I bet you don't know this fact about our main guest star. But Mr. Jeffrey Blake actually played Terry Farrell's boyfriend on Paper Dolls, of all things. So, hey.
I did know that. I did.
Did you?
Yeah, isn't that- okay. I did.
All right.
Are you guys friends?
When I was an actor in the 80s and the 90s, yeah. I saw Jeff at every audition.
I was going to ask you that.
Same roles for same 15 age. Years. Yes.
I was going to ask you that. You're 2 years apart. He's yep. similar in, you know, you're both leading men type yep. guys.
We weren't friends outside of auditions, but he was yep. one of those handful of a few people that I would see at every audition.
Was he nice to you, Robbie, when you were yeah. at auditions? Yeah.
yeah.
He wasn't
yeah,
trying to nice like guy. Get into your, because sometimes actors try to get very competitive and try to get into your mind and kind of mess with
no,
you
I thought
in
he
the
was,
waiting room.
At,
so.
At auditions, he actually was like energized and fun and yeah. seemed like he didn't care that much. Whereas okay. a lot of people would be very nervous
Serious.
And anxious.
Yeah.
He would lighten the mood whenever I saw him there.
Nice.
He was awesome.
Okay.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know. I was happy he was.
Yeah.
on it. It was
did
great.
You have anything to do with that casting, Terry? Did you say, hey, I know
no.
Jeffrey Blake? Okay.
Oh, so funny.
Just so like, oh my gosh.
Random.
You, yeah.
You saw him on the call sheet and you were like, holy yeah. moly, here he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, it could have been, you know, even someone saying to me, we got a surprise for you.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
So yeah. I don't know. I don't remember now because that's such a long time ago. But
right. He has some other memorable roles, though.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember the character of Wesley, the abusive radical boyfriend opposite Robin Wright in Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, yeah.
And interestingly enough, he's actually acted with Tom Hanks in more than one project. So not sure about the connection there, but that may be coincidence. He was also in the science fiction film Contact with Jodie Foster, playing the role of the astrophysicist Fisher. So that's another memorable role of his. And next up, we have Ron Taylor. This is the second time we've seen Ron Taylor as our Klingon chef. He was in Melora. And just as a quick reminder, he was the one who voiced the role of the killer plant Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors. We talked about that before.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Goodness.
With that voice. Yeah. And unfortunately, he did pass in 2002. So we don't have Mr. Ron anymore with us, unfortunately. Next up, we have Richard Poe. As Gullivec, and he is one of only a handful of actors to play the same character on three different Star Trek series,
wow.
TNG, DS9, and Voyager. The other actors to accomplish this feat are Leonard Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, James Doohan, Mark Leonard, Jonathan Frakes, Marina Sirtis, and our man Armin Shimmerman, and of course, John DeLancey. So those are the ones.
Wow.
Who have done that. And it's more impressive when you're not a series regular to be on three separate Star Trek
yeah.
series. Right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay. Co-stars, Chris Nelson Norris as the alien man, or Trajak is his actual credited name. This is the gentleman who was training Dax.
My wrestling coach.
He had fancy hair.
Made me think of the beads.
Oh, yeah. In the last episode. More stuff in the hair.
We have Major Barrett, of course, as the computer voice, as the other co-star. This episode is directed by Monsieur David Livingstone. Again, good old David is here to direct us. Teleplay by Jim Trombetta and Michael Piller. Story by Jim Trombetta. Interestingly enough, Robbie, the first
yes.
draft of this teleplay, it was the proto-universe story that was the A story. The B story was the Trill Initiate. Michael Piller flipped it. He was like, nah, I'm going to flip this around. I'm not going to have that as the main. I'm going to have the Trill Initiate storyline as the main storyline. And this is the second episode in a row where we have A, B, and C storylines.
This one didn't feel quite as spread out to me at all.
As the other one?
Okay. As the other one. This okay. one felt like things were, you know, each story fed into the other story. So,
right.
Yeah.
Trombetta felt that Michael Piller's decision to flip B with A, he felt that that decision robbed this episode of its emotional balance and that the ethical problem of the proto-universe story was no longer felt on an emotional level. Not sure how you guys felt with that, but that's Jim's feeling. He wasn't too happy about that. Yeah,
it's too bad. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't feel that watching it. I felt
like we were really
sticking up for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we had Kira saying, let's get rid of it or kill it. And you had...
It was like a bunch of ants.
Odo defending it. And every, yeah. I thought it was a very balanced perspective.
Okay. Here's a quote from Terry. See if you can remember this, Terry. Terry said, everything that Dax does in the beginning is an attempt to get Arjun to react to her, to shake him out of his behavior, because somebody who's really mature enough to be a host would have handled that treatment differently than Arjun did. That's an actual quote from your mouth.
So, wow.
Yeah.
From my thoughts, not just my mouth.
Yeah, not just your mouth. From your thoughts. From your heart.
Yeah, you know, when you're trying to provoke somebody to be their authentic self, and you keep trying to poke that bear to get them to drop the facade.
Yeah.
I think that's true. But I think it's also because she didn't want to deal with the confrontation.
I liked this episode a lot, your performance. I thought it was the first time I felt like I saw a complete three-dimensional opportunity for your character to be as fun as she can be, as smart as she can be, as, you know, kind. It was just it was a full meal in terms of that character, and just really getting to know that character. And you did a great job.
Thank you. I even liked how I had the opportunity to be in the scene with Avery to deal with feeling like I couldn't handle. I mean, you see in it and how it's written and how David and I, he directed and I made choices as an actress to be a little defensive to not knowing how to handle it. And Avery's character, Cisco, helps her kind of realize that she needs to take responsibility, but without hitting, you know, the hammer on it. It was nice how it unfolded. And that got her the next day to really like have to hit home with him on, you got to be more real with me.
Yeah, it was great. I love that David directed this one. We just got an email from David Livingston, actually.
I know, I read that.
Is that what you sent me?
I sent
that
you
was
that,
so nice. Oh my God.
Yeah, he sent an email saying, we're talking about the episode Rivals, that he's, you know, he's listening and watching to our podcast. And the scene where Bashir gets up looking for ketchup or some, you know, some sauce to put on his food, and he keeps getting up and they're empty.
Yeah.
And David was saying he got the idea from the Beatles movie Help. In the movie Help, Ringo Starr is sitting with one of the other characters and he keeps getting up looking for ketchup. And so that was David's idea. And I love that he shared that with us, that he's watching the show. And he said, you know, you and Sid were awesome to work with in that scene. Really great to collaborate with you guys. So I love that. Yeah, David directed that episode and this one. So I'd love to hear any memories he's got on this. David, if you're listening.
Well, if he's listening, he will be listening, Robbie. He says he listens to all the episodes. I'm sorry, but I think it was another title. Am I wrong on that? I don't recall Help being the title of that film.
Oh, the Beatles film?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hard Day's Night?
Yes, that's what
It was Hard Day's Night. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, Terry, you're talking about that scene with Cisco where you guys are playing chess. And I thought about the email David had sent, how he's always looking for business, for, you know, characters to really be eating the food like you did in that other scene with Bashir.
Oh, I like that so much. It really helps it all feel so much more real.
Yeah. Or playing chess in this episode. It was great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. It's very rarely are people not doing anything.
In real life, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, and if they are, why are you capturing it? There has to be a reason.
All right. I'm going to jump into this first scene. Here we go. We find out that Bashir and Arjun are on the exact same transport to DS9. So we start off with those guys walking into the airlock. And we find out that Arjun is the new Trill initiate. And he tells Bashir that Dax has a reputation of breaking initiates. That I did not know. I don't think we even know that at all. And so he's heard of Dax, and Dax is definitely a very strict individual that has broken countless numbers of initiates.
57, I think.
Yeah, and he's so afraid he considered asking for someone else.
Exactly, because you've crushed the hopes and dreams of 57 initiates as if they were just mosquitoes on your arm. Well, and just flicked them off.
Dax has, but he's my first.
Yeah, right. Dax Curzon.
Dax Curzon. Dax has done it, but he is your first as Jadzia Dax. Exactly. So Arjun's really, you know, he wants to meet you, and he asks Bashir if it's too late to meet Dax. And Bashir kind of laughs at that. He's like, no, she's a night owl. In fact, computer, where is Dax? And we find out she's in Quarks. So they jump in a turbo lift and they arrive at Quarks, where Dax is in the process of schooling the Ferengis yet again at Tongo, because she's so good at it with her past, you know, life as Curzon Dax being a Tongo enthusiast. But of course, It's always good to see Dax mess with the quarterback. It's gotten to the point where Dax knows the tells. She knows when someone is doing something physically that will make them make a certain move in the game. So she already has become.
Okay, can you believe I shared it though? I couldn't believe I shared it.
It's like, why did you tell
share it? Oh my God.
You just gave up your advantage, Dax.
I know.
That one.
Holy cow.
Just going back a little bit, I loved in the promenade when Arjun and Bashir are walking towards Quarks before he sees her, and he's so nervous. That's been set up completely.
Yeah.
He's like a motor mouth, though. He's like, Arjun is explaining
everything.
It's like, dude, he's so nervous. He just can't shut up. It's very funny.
It is funny.
I also loved when Dax is gambling and gives up her tell. She scratches a Quark behind the ear and he says, careful, don't do that unless you're serious about it.
There's the innocent flirtation going on. It's really cute.
I think she's kind of a flirt.
Oh, it's fun. That's what I mean. This episode, like, you're starting to see how much fun Dax is.
Thank you.
That's great.
That was such a nice compliment, Robbie. Thank you.
Oh, sure. I'm serious. It's you were a blast to watch. So watchable and entertaining and great. Okay, so Julian does introduce Arjun to Dax, and I love how Quark immediately wants to bring in a sucker into the game. He's like, "Do you know how to play Tongo?" He's like trying to get him to sit down and play the game, and Dax is very protective. She's like, no, I think he needs to rest.
No, that's not what happened. Quark says, do you know how to play Tongo? He says, no. Then he's like, then get out, because he wants to make his money back.
He wants to make his money.
That's what's going on with Quark. And then I said, no, that's rude. We need to teach him.
Right.
Then we bring him over to the table, right? Then he sits down. He's like, I've had a big day of travel. And he's backing his way out after Quark's like, well, how much do you have money?
He wants his money back. In fact, at the very end, I love how he's like, to Dax, he yells out, you can't quit now. Female! He yells, just female! Female!
He's the sore loser.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Why aren't the other Ferengis sore losers? Like, they should all be like, that's a Ferengi thing. They should all be pissed off.
They should all
They seem to be enjoying it though. Dax. They're just charmed by Dax. That's what it is.
It would have been funny if he goes, you just won, and they all yelled female together in unison.
That would have been great.
Hindsight.
We go out to a corridor next. Arjun rings a doorbell, the door opens, and there's this very handsome, we'll find out later, the wrestling coach, but we don't know who he is. He's very,
very muscular.
He's got some hair dangled things, shiny baubles in his hair.
Yeah.
He opens the door. Very intimidating man. Then Dax comes in with a towel wrapped around her.
Well, he's protective of her too. So I don't know if that's David's direction or not, or if his decision as an actor, but when he says, is she expecting you? You can deliver that a lot of different ways. It could have been like, oh, is she expecting you? Which is like very innocent, but it was very much delivered as that was, that you were his
territorial
boyfriend.
Yes. A little possessive.
You were his girlfriend, excuse me. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was thinking.
Well, Dax is the boyfriend and the girlfriend, all in one.
I got it all covered.
The muscle guy has to leave, though, and Dax says something about a rematch. That's all they say. And I wrote down, is fun times, sexy fun times a rematch? Is what kind of rematch is she talking about? Because we didn't know about the wrestling thing yet.
I think that we're intentionally being a little
vague.
Yeah.
It's great. This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I don't know many coaches that kiss their students' hands like he did. He was very romantic, sort of at the end. Right. So,
They were leaning into the misdirect it's a hookup. But they go inside. Dax goes to get dressed. And I love the staging when she's in the other room and you're just calling from the other room and we never cut inside. I love that.
Me too.
Yeah. Arjun's point of view in this scene.
Right.
That uncomfortable when you don't know somebody and, oh gosh, the towel.
Dax is getting dressed in the other room. She asks him to make a black hole.
Okay.
Is that like alcohol is what it made me think of.
Whatever it is, you have never ordered this before this point. in
no, this, I've never heard no. of a black
in
hole.
In this scene.
No, I'm always a Ractigino person. Yeah. So yeah. I don't even remember ordering a black hole.
What the heck? How did that even come up? That's so
it's
weird.
A Ferengi drink. Well, she's hanging out playing tango with the Ferengis.
It's so. Enough in the beginning. We might not have ever remembered.
Yeah.
Maybe they got some pushback on, like, don't say black hole. It just sounds.
Maybe. Don't say it. Don't ever say that again.
Please. Don't let that cross your lips ever again.
She wants a black hole, which he makes. Looks like black coffee to me. It just looked like black coffee.
It did.
Like an espresso. Yeah.
This is where she also shares, though, that she loves starting the day with Galeo Minotta wrestling. And that Trojak is her coach. It was like, oh, that's the rematch. It's not the Sexy Fun Times rematch.
It still could be.
Maybe. I don't know what Galeo Minotta wrestling is. Maybe it involves more than just wrestling. Yeah. Watch out for those spikes on his shoulder, though.
I know.
He could get hurt. So Trajak is his name. He's a coach. Yeah. Arjun's very nervous in this scene. He calls you ma'am at one point when you come out.
Oh, like, yeah.
Don't ever call me that again.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Gosh.
Poor guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that felt weird, though.
And you say, why don't you just try Jadzia? And he's not sure about that. That's too familiar. He's like, I don't know if that's appropriate.
He's really uptight. Yeah, he's really uptight. Nervous. Yeah. He's just trying to say the right answer to everything.
Okay, so the next scene is in Ops. Kira and O'Brien are looking for Cardassian voles here.
Well, you don't know in the beginning, right? You don't know. You have no clue what's going on. O'Brien's pissed off. He's like, oh, not here, not there. And he gets out of where he's at, and Kira has a little scan. She's got a tricorder, and she goes, oh, no, over here. And that's when he pulls off the panel, goes underneath, and we find
out. Yeah, that's a cool shot underneath, too.
I love that shot.
Yeah.
It's a great shot.
I do, too. I love it when they're in the equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why haven't they had this scene from earlier? Of the handover of the station from Cardassians to Starfleet. Like, why? They've never talked about voles, have they?
No,
I don't recall that. So it's, I'm sure they've been there the entire
time. It seems bizarre that it's taken this long for us to start having an issue with them.
Well, they do say something like, with everybody moving in, they're starting to spread out or something because the station's filling up with people now.
Okay.
That it's kind of driving the voles.
Oh, and they're attracted to the electrical.
Yeah, the electromagnetic
fields. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But they do go under. Yeah. Miles pops out from like a pot, what do you call it? Like a manhole or something. He pops out in the beginning.
And then
he
goes over.
Yeah. Climbs underneath. So that's all cool. And then Cisco comes in and wants to know what's going on. He doesn't seem to know what voles are. Cisco at the top.
What?
He doesn't really. He says, Major. And she says, voles, sir. And Cisco goes, voles?
Oh.
And then Kira has to explain it. A Cardassian legacy.
Right.
They weren't bothering us. So maybe he's heard of them, but he's.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed to me like he was unaware that they even existed.
We have voles. They're not Cardassian voles, but voles are a real thing.
Voles are a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I used to get them in my compost in the winter in Pennsylvania.
Or what is it? Kind of. It's a rodent.
It's kind of like a. Yeah. It's definitely a rodent. It looks like a mole, but it's tiny, like a mouse.
Okay.
Interesting.
They're not big. They're just tiny.
Well, the Cardassian voles look terrifying.
They'd have babies in my compost in the winter in Pennsylvania because the compost was nice and warm, right?
Oh.
So when I go out to try to turn it all around, that's when I discover them the first time, and they went running everywhere. And then I tried to catch the babies to put them back in the compost.
Oh, God.
Oh,
look at that. Because
I didn't want them to die.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, you know who else doesn't want them to die is Cisco. Cisco tells O'Brien,
yes.
I want those voles taken alive, phasers unstunned, which is cool. You don't
it's very,
kill them.
Yeah.
Just relocate them or something.
He's going to feed them to his dog.
Or send them back. Send them back to Cardassia is what
that's an even better idea.
A little package. Here we go. Yeah.
Well, he wants them taken alive. Then Dax and Arjun show up.
Right.
Dax introduces Kira and O'Brien.
But their fannies are their butt.
Yes,
that shot was hilarious. Oh my gosh.
So now Arjun will only recognize Kira and O'Brien by their heinies, I think.
Yeah.
So yes, that was funny. Dax is excited though. She's never seen a vole and asks, and Kira goes, yeah, be my guest. Go check it out. Cisco does mention to Arjun that Dax has been a nightmare for the initiate corps. Yeah. He's more nervous. He's really, this is not going to be
that
easy.
That did not help.
No.
No. They do catch the one vole that's underneath there, though.
And
they
correct him, that was Curzon.
Oh, yes, you do. That's right.
That wasn't Jadzia.
It was Curzon, exactly.
And I got one.
Yeah, you get one, you zap it, it's still alive, it's stunned, and they bring it out. Now, that is the most detailed. I'm going to say that did not, that was not a cheap little
prop
that they made. I'm sure that cost a lot of money. The detailing on that was amazing.
It looked cool.
And it looked horrifying. It really did. It scared Robbie for sure. It was like a gargoyle.
I'd take a regular American rat anytime compared to that thing. That thing really, and it was huge.
Oh,
it was like the size of a cat. Yeah.
Massive. I feel like if Robbie walked into his backyard and that thing was there, he would probably scream and run. I mean, because it's horrible looking.
I don't like rodents.
No.
I'm not a fan. No.
Not that rodent. Other rodents might be.
No.
No?
No.
You would never own like a mouse
rabbits.
Or
rabbits are technically a rodent, so I love rabbits, but that's the only rodent that there
that's
should be.
That's it? You would never have a pet mouse? You would never have a pet? Oh, okay.
We had mice. We had field mice in the garage this spring. They were coming out from the warm weather and stuff.
Yeah.
And I had to get these traps that would catch them live.
Yeah.
And then I was walking across the street and putting them in a field across the street. But then I kept catching these mice. And then I looked it up and it says, yeah, you need to take the mice 2 miles from your house.
Or they end up right back at your house.
Or they end up back. So I started driving when I'd catch the little mice. Now they're gone. That's what you got to do with voles, too. O'Brien's got to take them. He's got to go 2 light years away.
Well, how about this? Just take them to the Gamma Quadrant. Take them all the way. Go through the wormhole. Drop them off there. They're not going to get back through the wormhole. That's for sure.
No.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of the wormhole, we cut outside to space, and the runabout Mekong is on its way to the Gamma Quadrant. Whoosh goes into the wormhole. We cut inside. Arjun is amazed at this view. And I have to say, this was really beautiful. Like all of the flying in the wormhole in this episode, I thought was the best I'd ever seen.
Super cool.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like magical. Made me think of jellyfish.
Yeah. It felt undersea in some way.
Yeah. There's something really kind of cool about it that way.
I like that.
Dax does ask him if he wants to fly the runabout. He says, well, he never flew a Starfleet runabout before, but he does take over. We learn that he's studied up on Dax. He knows a lot about her history.
Yeah.
He even asks Jadzia for tips. You know, what worked with Curzon? What did you do? You know, give me some tips on how to impress you, basically.
Right.
And heck no, buddy.
Jadzia's like, first of all, I'm not Curzon or Leela or any of these others. I'm Jadzia. And I do get how you feel. And I'm not going to make it hard on you. So it's a nice scene. Is this where we find out also that he's a pilot?
He does. These things practically fly themselves. You've had third level flight experience, don't you? And he says, actually, I just finished fifth level last month.
Yeah, he does talk about that.
Fifth? I didn't even finish third level.
You know, Tom Paris finished like level 11. Turn it up to 11.
I don't think there is a level 11.
I think
that's why I'm saying Tom Paris finished.
I'm not a 10. I'm an 11.
He just made it up.
But then there's a big bump out of nowhere.
Yes, there is.
Yes.
That's scary.
That's very scary. And Dax brings the runabout to a stop. Arjun points out, come see this, Dax. There's a big mass on the starboard nacelle.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Trouble.
Okay. I'm sorry, but it just...
Don't explain it all. We have so far to go.
I know, but the clump to me, all right? Yes. I mean...
It looked like trash.
They talk about it as if it's like a bug stain on a windshield in a way.
No, like, it looked like a cuttlefish to me.
Yeah, but wouldn't it just slide off when you hit it? Wouldn't it just slide off of the nacelle? Why is it stuck to the nacelle? That's just so weird.
Like an octopus. It just...
Yeah,
maybe it's attracted to our
energy
impulse signature.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, thank you, science
Terry's
officer.
A scientist.
I'll take that. Yes. I'll
that make
that.
You feel better.
Way better. I kept thinking it should have slid off. It shouldn't even be on there.
Oh yeah, like how spiders and bugs are attracted to like outlets and stuff like that, or moths to your light.
I'll go with that.
Well, it's also a proto. We're going to find out later. It's a proto universe. So it's evolving.
True.
So maybe it hit And within seconds,
that was a spoiler alert, everybody. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Right now, it just looks like glow stick is what it looks like. That's it.
It's a cool looking glow stick. It looks like a cuttlefish.
I love a cuttlefish.
You can hear that.
I know, me too.
Along with the glowing. So.
Yes.
All right. So we come up back into ops. Kira and Miles are working on their plan to catch all these voles.
Yes.
And I hope they take them at least 2 light years away from this station. Or they're going to come back. Miles does reveal, though, he's got a sonic generator. He says it'll make a sound that hurts their ears, and it'll drive the voles away from wherever he does the sonic generator thing. That's when Quark arrives, and he's very upset about these voles. They crawled right across the table in Quark's, and he calls them the landlord. He says, "You're the landlord. You need to take care of this," which I thought was very funny. Yeah. And Miles says they're working on a plan to get rid of them. And he turns on this sonic generator. I love the shot of Armin. And he screams, and he collapses out of frame.
What does that say about Ferengis?
Super sensitive ears.
That, or are they the same biology as voles, basically? Are they related to vermin in some way, shape, or form?
No.
What's going on?
I think it was just sensitive ears.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he has such large ears,
yes.
That was just unbearable.
Genius. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Sisko arrives, though, as Quark is writhing on the floor, still screaming. Dax pops on screen, says they caught some kind of space seaweed, basically. I think that's how she describes it, like seaweed or something.
Mm-hmm.
She does ask them to transport it to the science lab so she can study it.
Just like the pillar.
Once again, I'm bringing something we don't know what it is into the station.
That's Dax's MO. Anytime you don't know what it is, you just bring the entire thing into the science station.
Throw
that's it
in the science lab, and I won't even go there. I'll deal with it later.
I got time. I'm just hanging out.
Potentially really dangerous thing in the station, and then we're going to go have dinner, okay?
Because we don't know what it is.
No.
But don't worry. It probably isn't dangerous.
Yeah. Probably not.
Just space seaweed.
Yeah. We cut back onto the runabout where Dax tells Arjun they're going to go grab some food. Cut to Klingon restaurant.
There's
our chef singing another
chef
Klingon
Ron.
Song.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chef Ron. I love how he sings this song. And then Terry, do you remember singing this with him?
Yes.
You do?
And I, at that time, I was so nervous about singing out loud.
Wow.
Now I don't care if I sound bad. I'll do it. But
right.
But it's so funny how hard that is to get over. I miss those moments in class, in acting class, where we'd have to come and sing. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that I got sick because I was so nervous about doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't look that way. You didn't look nervous.
No,
so I think
great.
I did a good job. Yeah.
Thank you.
You covered it well.
Yeah, it was really sweet. And I'm sure we had to probably loop it too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so, maybe. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pre-record it and then lip sync back to it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny because this is a song that Chef Ron didn't know about. It was Dax that taught Chef Ron.
Isn't that
this
sweet?
New Klingon song.
Right? That she only learned because of Curzon's relationship with the Klingons.
Right.
Yeah, that's so sweet. And I like how we're finding out how she's a bit of a rogue. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has kind of a man in every port.
Yeah. She's a little mischievous and she's very open.
She's a big flirt.
Big flirt. Yeah.
Likes everyone.
Fun.
Yeah. I think she genuinely likes every single one of the guys she flirts with, too. I don't think she's insincere.
Yeah, she's not putting on airs or coming from an insincere place. No,
mm-mm.
I think it's for real.
As Dax is singing with the Klingon, Arjun's just staring at his food. He's terrified of the rocked. And when Dax says, you don't seem to like Klingon food, he says, it moves by itself, which I loved.
They're earthworms.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes.
Dax says, no, you've been moved. You moved it around your plate to make it look like you've touched it. He's like, I didn't have to move it. It moved itself, which is a very
funny that's
line.
What he said. It's very funny. Dax does say, if you didn't like Klingon food, you got to speak up for yourself. So she's starting to, she's really coming out with like pushing him. She asks how he got into the Symbian program. He says his father sponsored him. His father was a pilot instructor. who had lots of big ambitions for his children. I guess he thought his daughter was going to be in the symbiont program or something initially, but as soon as she got accepted, she ran off and got married and basically ran away, and he never spoke to her again.
That's so awful, isn't it?
Oof, no wonder this kid is like so nervous and terrified. He had a domineering father. Yeah, makes sense.
He's passed away now, though, hasn't he?
Well, he did pass away, and
he said to
Arjun when he passed away on his deathbed, "I'm counting on you." Yeah. So all this pressure, even on his deathbed. Yeah.
Evil man.
Mean. Meanie.
Mean.
I think probably he said it more like, "I'm counting on you."
Like that. Oh.
Because you went, "I'm counting on you," and then he dies. But I think he just went, and then died on you. Yeah. That's my feeling.
I think he said, "I'm counting on you."
Oh my word. So you gave me the heart attack. So you can feel guilty about that and then feel bad about not being joined.
That's probably how it happened.
It's exactly how it happened.
No, Robbie, he went like that. He went, "Arjun." He dies, but then he has a little bit of life left.
He said, "I'm not dead yet.
I'm not dead yet. I'm not quite dead yet. I'm counting on you." And then he dies.
Okay.
Thank you.
That works too.
All right.
Oh my God, I'm exhausted, you guys.
I know. There's a lot of death scenes going on here. Dax does ask him, what are his goals though? So if that was your father's dreams, what are your dreams?
Yeah.
And Arjun says, "Well, I thought the symbiont would guide me."
Not the right answer.
Not the right answer.
So not the right answer.
The host has to balance with the symbiont, otherwise the symbiont's going to overwhelm your personality. So she's again saying, like, speak up, speak for yourself,
stop being so wishy-washy. Come on, Arjun, have a backbone.
Because remember when what was the actor's name, they came to take my symbiont away from me?
John Glover.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And he was not mentally stable enough to handle it.
Nope.
Yeah.
And it ruined him when we took the worm back.
That's right.
I mean, it almost ruined me.
Yes.
But you could see that wasn't.
Yeah. And I don't think John Glover ever worked again after that episode. So it
never
it ruined Poor John guy. Glover's career. No, he worked a lot. I'm kidding. Well, we go to Ops next. Miles is talking to this Cardassian. This is our actor who played this role in three different series, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, Gullivec.
So Miles is talking to this Cardassian, asking for help with the Voles, and the Cardassian's like, "Sorry, your station, your problem."
Well, because it's their station. He's still grumpy about that. We got the station. You got the station. You get the Voles.
Yeah, exactly. And he does mention that their mating season starts in six weeks.
6 weeks.
Yikes.
No. And then I come in.
Yeah, Dax comes in.
But before you come in, it's just very funny. O'Brien says, "Thanks for your help." And then on the view screen, Gullivec says, "The Federation could always withdraw from Bajor." And he ends the transmission right on that.
He interrupts them.
"Withdraw from Bajor." Click off.
Then I bring him a box from Julian.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice box, too.
It was really well presented.
Yeah, it's a good presentation, definitely.
Really good. I was thinking Props was having fun between the Vol and this box.
Yeah. Yeah, Props had a budget this episode. But inside the box, Miles opens it up, and it's a flute and with a note that says it worked in Hamlin on it. And O'Brien reads that to himself. He's like, very funny. Yeah, the Pied Piper. Maybe that'll work.
Very funny.
That was just a joke, too. Like,
it's a joke.
Yeah, straight up joke.
Yeah.
But it's nice, too, even though we didn't see Julian again, that's what happened in the last episode, too. But we bring him up again. So he's still alive in the scene. I like it when they do things like that.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. We do go in the commander's office. This is when Dax goes in. Sits down with Sisko. They're playing chess, which we kind of mentioned a little bit. Great business.
Mm-hmm. I asked for us to play chess. I asked Michael Piller. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Because I was learning how to play chess. And I thought, my character I wasn't Jadzia or Curzon, but I don't know. The first 350 years ago, definitely alive to play chess in its original form.
That's a great idea.
What, you know, what's super interesting is that when you guys are playing chess, the moves that you are doing, they were scripted, what you were supposed to be doing, okay? They reproduced a famous game between two chess masters, Byrne versus Fischer in 1956. So the moves that we see on screen are moves 14 through 18 in that actual match between these two. And this was known as the game of the century. Like, these two were the two powerhouses back in the 50s when they played chess.
Isn't that cool?
It's so amazing that they actually included that in the episode. I think that
they took the time to do it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's very cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, great scene. Sisko asks Dax about Arjun. Dax does admit she's got some doubts. Sisko gives her some advice, though. Says, you know, maybe you need to confront him about your concerns.
I'm so glad he said that.
Yeah, he's kind of pushing you to be a little more Curzon here.
Yeah.
And Dax is like, no, I'm not going to be Curzon. You don't know what he did to me. It was horrible. It was a nightmare. And Sisko says, well, he might have been tough, but he demanded excellence and it worked, which is a nice compliment to to Jadzia.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Real nice scene. I really like it a lot. I loved working with Avery, especially when we'd have scenes like this together.
Yeah.
When one of us was challenging the other one to maybe see a different point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys, the scenes with you guys are always great. Love it.
Yeah.
And from that scene, we cut into the science lab where they are holding this seaweed thing that like Dax did with the pylon or whatever. She's transported something into the science lab, which now is going to cause some trouble because it breaches the force field, the containment field it's in. It kind of explodes.
Well, you know why it does that? Because you see the vole in the foreground. The vole is chewing
on the
thing, and it makes
it chews
the containment
the
field. Yeah,
yes.
Whatever is going on to power the containment field, the vole chews through it. Exactly. Those darn voles.
Those
darn voles.
That
sounds like a Disney movie.
That darn vole.
So this energy field or whatever escapes. It looks like it heads into like a conduit or something.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? When Avery fell in love with that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Aberration of that woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the psychic projection of that woman. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We had something in a containment field in that room, and it's almost like the whole little proto universe went under the door and into that same weird room.
Yes, I know.
It was like, okay,
yeah,
go hide in there. That'll work.
That's where.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's no way out.
No way out.
Yeah.
We do cut back up to I think ops here, and O'Brien saying the voles have eaten through the security field. Sisko hears this. He's mad now. He says, take the phasers off, stun. No more Mr. Nice Guy for Sisko here. And Dax asks Arjun to help her analyze the energy field. Then Arjun tries to tell her about his ambitions at this point. He realized that he wasn't taking a stand before, so he's going to speak up because that's what she wants to hear.
Yeah.
And Dax reads right through it. She's like, you're just trying to say what I want to hear. That's not going to work. He starts to realize that she's got some serious doubts, and that just flips his lid.
Well, also Dax is harder on her because Dax has had that conversation with Sisko. So Dax is kind of giving it to Arjun.
Yeah.
And that flips him, right?
I think that probably helped her get permission.
Yeah.
It was like Sisko gave her permission to be herself. Just do your job.
Yeah. And it's funny because I don't think you were being hard on him here. You were just being honest.
Just being like an adult.
Yep.
Right.
Adult to a child.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he loses it. He says some very insulting things. Well, that's really incredible coming from you.
Yeah.
He says he's never seen any host in my life who's so far below those standards as you are, ma'am.
At least he put ma'am at the end.
She said, don't do that. Remember, don't call me ma'am.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so that was him doing a dig on purpose. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, just to speak up for myself, I'm feeling a little betrayed here. I mean, after your impassioned I am Jadzia fellow initiate speech in the runabout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I handle it very grown up. I just let him have his little tantrum.
Yeah, he had a tantrum for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops. We go to Ops next after his little hissy fit, Arjun's hissy fit. There's a team meeting. Dax shows up. She's got some answers. She says, the energy field is a proto-universe. Now we know it's gonna basically a baby universe that's in the beginning stages. It's just starting to develop. But Dax does share that, you know, if we can't figure something out, it's going to grow. It's going to displace this entire station. It's going to keep growing and destroy DS9. Mm-hmm.
And not just the station, but this part of the universe is going to be displaced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Yeah, and eventually it'll implode on itself.
Yeah.
That's how much pressure. Yeah.
But Dax does think maybe they can set up a containment field to hold it temporarily. And if they can contain it, then the feedback pressure will eventually make it implode on itself. So maybe they could destroy it if they're clever here.
Correct.
Oh, and so this is before we know it's a proto-universe.
This is before we know that there's any life in the universe. Yes.
Thank you.
That's what it is.
That's the difference.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. So a universe with no life, we can let implode.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. But once a sentient being or life is growing,
any life signs,
you can't do it then.
Nope. So. About 3 hours.
Yeah, you got 3 hours till the next phase of expansion, and the shockwaves will probably destroy the lab. That next expansion is going to damage the lab. So Sisko says, have Odo evacuate Section 14, mm-hmm. sends everybody on their way. To get the containment field, to evacuate for safety. See what happens when you beam stuff over to the...
I'm constantly causing problems.
You really are. But you're fun, though. You're a lot of fun.
I am fun.
Now we're in Quarks. And guess what? Arjun is there drowning his blues, basically. He's sitting there drinking, and Quark comes over to talk to him.
Can I say one thing about Arjun when he's sitting there drinking?
Yes.
What are those shoulder pads? I mean, maybe it was the way he was leaned forward, but it looked like
were they riding up? Were they riding up?
Football shoulder pad. They were so huge.
Oh, probably because he was leaning.
Yeah, because the way he was leaning.
Yeah.
The shoulder pads were huge. Anyway,
well, anyway, he's basically drowning his sorrows because he's realized that he feels like he's basically thrown his entire future into the toilet because of the way he spoke to Dax, Jadzia Dax, not Curzon Dax, but it was in his mind the end of his future as a possible a host initiate.
Because he lost his temper like that, would she have rejected him or said no? He shouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
He's like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all in his mind.
I mean, everybody's young to her, right? Or but he is really like a baby.
Yeah.
Right. And I think you see that in the way Terry played the reaction to his freak out. Like she took it in stride. She really did. Dax took it in stride. Terry Farrell as the actress took it in stride. It was like, okay, petulant child.
Well, I made the choice to take it in stride.
Right.
Yeah, because he's having a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
Which is not so different than watching a 3-year-old have a temper tantrum because you're not letting them have whatever they want in the store. Exactly. And he's name calling to me and all of that. All of these things when you're angry.
Yeah. You've lived enough lifetimes, you know, in your experience that you know that people say things they don't mean when they get angry.
Well, 100%. More poignantly, she's been under the kind of pressure he's under right now.
She's experienced it already from Curzon.
Yes.
Is what it was.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay.
Well, I like that Quark thinks he immediately goes to when Arjun's drinking and drowning his sorrows. He's like, oh, she broke your heart, huh?
Yeah.
He thinks Dax is just a man eater or something.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. Quarky goes, oh yeah, she broke my heart. She broke Bashir's heart and lots of others. It's like he's assumed this whole story.
Well, it's funny because it's usually the patron that is spilling everything, the beans.
Yes.
And here we have Quark spilling the beans back at him. Like, she broke my heart and Bashir's heart. It was like, what are you? Okay. Yeah.
It's very funny. But Arjun does say, no, it's not. She didn't break my heart. It's the initiate stuff.
Yeah.
That's when Quark shares a story about his apprenticeship with one of the, what does he say?
District Subnegus is who it was.
Yeah, yeah. Subnegus.
Yeah.
He licked his boots. He kissed up to him. But then he ruined, he was in great shape to like be set for the rest of his life.
Right.
And he said, don't sleep with the boss's daughter. It ruins everything.
Rule of acquisition 112. Yes. Oh my yeah. goodness.
And to make it even worse, to just yeah. put that cherry on the sundae, he says, you only have one shot at your dreams. Don't miss it. Oh
don't
my
screw
God.
It up.
Yeah. Like he's so nervous.
Yes. Arjun goes, how did you recover? And Quark says, never did. He's like, look at me. I'm tending bar out here in Wormhole Junction. So essentially he equated that other apprenticeship as his stairway, his latinum stairway to, you know, to heaven, basically Ferengi yeah. heaven. He was going to be on top of the world. And now look at him. He's got a bar in the middle of nowhere.
It.
Yeah. He's ruined.
So good yeah. luck with where you're going, Arjun.
Yeah, good luck where you're yeah. going, Arjun. Yeah.
Well, that's how the scene ends. Thanks for that pep talk.
Quark legitimately thinks he helped him. He's like, glad yeah. I could help. And walks off, which is very funny. Very funny.
Very funny. Back to the science lab. Dax is running some scans in there, but that energy field is just not reacting quite the way she thought. And she tries a few things and then she kind of exits very urgently. She's looking at entropy decrease and energy mass, all kinds of science stuff. I was very yeah. impressed with your techno babble in this scene, by the way.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd gotten some practice by this. You can tell. I'm just way more direct with my delivery.
Very direct.
I'm more confident. Yeah. yeah.
And your techno babble is coming out really good.
Yeah. This was solid. And it's mm-hmm. only you and the computer, which was your script supervisor when you were
yeah.
filming
yeah.
it, probably.
Right.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
No
Major
other
Barrett
actors.
Wasn't there. She didn't
no.
come to say hi.
No.
She probably would have if they had her, which would have been great. But
yeah.
No.
She would have wanted to say hi to you, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, we go to the ops, back up to ops. The team's preparing this containment field idea when Dax arrives and said, you know what? I don't think you should do this anymore because I found life signs in this proto-universe.
Well, I kind of like that how Sisko is using the comm to say, Sisko to Dax, he's using his yeah. comm badge. We're preparing to establish a containment field. I want you out of the lab during this. And, Dax is already walking off the turbo lift. I'm already out, Benjamin. She's right there. Ops,
yeah, that was good cool. staging.
Yeah.
Yeah, really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, life signs in this proto-universe. So.
And that's a big problem.
And Kira wants to kill them.
Yes.
It's us or them. Kira's I mean, seriously,
killer.
It's us yeah. or them. She is. Well,
but can you
and
blame
she's
her?
Scared.
Look at her background.
So
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Her first reaction is out of fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Entirely.
And totally understand.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I felt like she was saying, you know, let's just get some bug spray and just, she's like,
yeah.
get a hypo spray.
Yeah.
We'll just kill
yeah.
him and then we can explode this thing. That's when they talk about maybe this proto-universe is on a different timeline. And it may be mm-hmm. even not just a life sign, but
right.
intelligent life.
Yeah.
And we can't kill intelligent yeah. life.
And they mm-mm. could be experienced time much faster than we can.
Yeah.
So a minute of our time could be years in their cycles. Their life yeah. cycle, their time cycle.
Yeah.
And so Sisko tells O'Brien to leave the science lab.
Yeah. Get out of there. It's going to explode. And
yep.
Tells Kira, get the repair crews ready because we're going to let this thing, we can't kill everybody. So kill this intelligent life. So we're going to let it expand.
We're going to give it some space.
Yeah.
But why didn't they just beam it off of the station and let it expand outside the station? I'm confused.
Because we couldn't have it just outside the station. It would it has to be even further away.
As in two light years away?
Just like the mouse. Yes.
If we let it right outside, it
okay.
would, in its
still
expansion,
damaged.
Like
yeah.
say when we have the sonic boom.
Yep.
Right. We can't have that around where people live because the glass in your house would break.
Right.
Your windows and all of
yeah.
that. I would equate it to that. That's just
yeah.
a simple way of. So
okay.
if that
yeah,
does
that
a
sense.
Boom, then it would shake the station and cause damage to the station.
Cause more damage. Maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Makes sense.
Well, we cut inside the science lab for this expansion. And I love the slow motion practical explosion of that conduit or whatever it's in. It was
mm-hmm.
cool. It was very cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice slow-mo explosion. We cut out to space. We see a hole blow in the side of the station with this light energy pouring out of it.
In that episode where Terry, you were talking about how the scientist guy, we find him in that same room. You know what I'm saying? The one
Yes.
Okay, that room was an important room. So now it's completely gone, right? I mean, I thought that was something to do with the power of the entire station. So for that to expand inside that room, it's a little,
Every time my room blows up, they have to rebuild it.
Clearly.
I'm very expensive.
How many times does your room blow up? Maybe Cisco needs to talk to Dax about beaming crap over to the station.
Exactly, right?
He needs to have a heart-to-heart with Dax.
Yeah, let's keep the stuff, dangerous stuff off the station.
Yeah.
Maybe when we meet the Dominion, I won't have time to do any of that.
Oh boy. Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Well, we go back to ops. They're beginning hull repairs now. We learn the next expansion is 5 hours away.
And that'll be about 300%.
Yes.
More. Yeah.
Yeah. More.
300% more than
like a
that
whole
last
lot. Like we gotta get
that. more. 300%.
Well, this time it's gonna take out a whole section of the station, not just blow a hole in the side. It'll take out a whole big section of the entire station.
We have to figure it out.
Kira really wants to destroy it. This is where Odo. I think this is the only section part of this story that Odo's in up here on Ops.
Yeah, and he doesn't agree with her. He agrees with Starfleet, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
He says we would be committing mass murder. And it's like stepping on ants, says Kira to Odo. And he goes, I don't step on ants, Major.
Yeah.
Just because we don't understand a life form doesn't mean we can destroy it. I think what's really important about that is because Odo is a misunderstood life form.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, and all by himself. So, of course, he doesn't step on ants and would protect any kind of life form that is new and interesting and misunderstood.
Yeah.
Yeah. He takes on a very a Buddhist perspective because Buddhists do not kill anything, any insects, any life form.
Well, Sisko ends the scene where he says, I'll give you my decision on what to do next in an hour. And he's got a nice voiceover where it starts in space, then goes to the promenade. We see him walking and looking out of space. He says, personal log, supplemental, 1 hour. One hour to make a decision that could mean the life or death of a civilization or the end of our own. And he talks about the Borg in this.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting pickle, philosophical puzzle that he's got to work out. And I like that they give him that time just to kind of walk the promenade and look out at the stars. And yeah, it was nice. Nice Sisko moment.
The fact that the reason he's coming back to thinking about the Borg is we don't want to be the Borg in this situation.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he goes into his quarters and who's there but his young son, Jake Sisko. There's Jake. He asks why Benjamin Sisko is back so early. He seems nervous. He thinks Miles told him something. Sisko says, is there something you want to tell me? Jake just spills it out. He's like, okay, fine. I'm in love with this girl. I love her.
He didn't even say this girl. He just says, I love her dad. That's how he throws it out there. We're like, who? Who do you love? Gosh.
Well, yeah. Well, Benjamin Sisko asks, and he admits it's a Dabo girl. And then Sisko is really upset. He stands up. He's like interrogating
him. Is he upset? Well, he plays it upset, but this is why I'm confused, Robbie.
And then he flips back.
I'm so confused right here because I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. He kind of plays it as if Dabo girl is the same as a prostitute or something. Like this is like a really bad person to date.
Well.
But.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
But then he plays at the end like, no, it's no big deal. I'd love to meet this Dabo girl.
It's confusing.
So
well, because he
confused.
Explains it's the one that he's tutoring this girl. That's different than just any Dabo girl.
I get it, but can we just, Terry, can you help me with this?
I think you can help have a first reaction as a parent of like, no. And then you realize, I'm not going to get anywhere with that. And then you slow down.
Okay, well, that makes sense if you're explaining it like that. But I would like the explanation of exactly what does a Dabo girl do other than help out with the gambling? Because that's
nobody
what I thought.
Nobody seems to know. I always thought she was kind of an escort.
I didn't think she was an escort. I thought she was just helping out with the gambling and kind of and is sort of an someone to hang on to the arms of gamblers.
Oh, Garrett, you're cute.
Being super naive for somebody who lives in Las Vegas.
Exactly. That's
is
adorable.
It escort?
I think so. And Armin confirmed it.
I think like most places that it can be either or.
Didn't Armin confirm this with us? He said yes.
That they're escorts. I always assumed they were, especially for how they're dressed and you're serving alcohol, they're gambling, they're hanging on people all the time.
They're always like draped on people.
It doesn't mean all of them are prostitutes. It
doesn't mean they're bad people.
No, it's just how they make extra money.
Yeah, you're adorable, Garrett. Actually, how worried Garrett is about the Dabo girl.
I am concerned about their welfare. Yes.
Well, the show's over, so you're going to just have to drop that.
The show's over many years ago.
And did anyone tell you it's pretend?
Here's the thing. Jake is a young man.
Yes.
The captain's son.
Yes.
He's not
what
even
the
a
heck
teenager,
is he doing dating a Dabo girl? I don't care if she's a hostess club hostess or...
Right.
Just seems... Yeah.
Because she's going to be at least 10 years a senior is what you're
going
to say.
Gotta be.
Right?
I would think so. Yeah. In her early 20s
well,
at
how
least.
Old is he? Is he...
Like
13?
15, maybe 14, 15.
He's a teenager.
Oh, yeah. Right. He's 15. Wait, last episode he was getting a job because he was 15.
Yeah.
But you know what? She could be just, she could be 19.
Are we ever going to meet this Dabo girl? Spoiler alert.
So let's keep going.
Yeah. Like it's going nowhere.
Why are we having the conversation?
To break Jake's heart, but it's not going to happen, dude. Okay. So they're going to have dinner with her soon, but Cisco's
not tonight.
Mm. He's got to figure out whether he's going to end a civilization or not. There's a little, he's kind of busy, Cisco. Anyway, we go to Quark's. Arjun is gazing into another glass of blue liquid and Dax arrives. He thinks his chances are over. He's like, give it to me. You know, please be gentle. Just break the news. Dax does give him an honest speech, though, about how Jadzia didn't start very well with Curzon. And Curzon pushed her. She cried herself to sleep every night. And then when she got back home, she found out that Curzon had recommended she be cut from the program. So that motivated her to reapply. She worked with a vengeance and was chosen for joining. And when she was chosen, she heard Curzon was dying. She actually requested that symbiont, the Dax symbiont from Curzon.
I love this story.
Yeah, it's a great story. So Arjun hears this story and he gets a little more. He thought he knew everything about Dax, but clearly he didn't. Yeah. And then Sisko arrives, says he wants to take the proto-universe back through the wormhole to the Gamma Quadrant. And Dax invites Arjun to pilot since he's level 5.
I love this part.
Yeah
When we're in the is it the Rio Grande that we're in now?
Yeah,
I think so.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a different runabout.
And this is very it's really scary because the containment is like
very unstable.
Very unstable.
Terry, question: are all the runabouts the same in terms of their interior and their exterior? Is there one runabout that's faster than another, or they just they all look the same?
I never got that, but it was just I don't remember what was the other one that we were on. Or
Mekong.
No, I guess they are all the same.
Yeah,
I just it's hard to remember exactly. Yeah.
I think they're the same except for their names. That's it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I bet they didn't build multiple.
No
runabout interiors. No, they would have just used the same set and called it a different runabout.
I think the fact that you don't remember if they're different means that they were the same as well, right?
Exactly.
Like you have no memory of like, whoa, the chair and this one's a little bit off like that. Like,
that's probably why you forget a lot of what you do too. Is a lot of it's so much the same exact day.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're in ops. They're talking to the runabout, and Miles wants to run one more test before they take off, but Cisco says he's not going to play numbers today, the numbers game. Listen, to just do this.
We need to get
out. Decides to go. Yeah, they transport this proto-universe energy onto the Rio Grande. It's kind of unstable. They're having a hard time transporting it over, but they do. And then the Rio Grande gently departs with Arjun piloting.
Here's the thought. They should have transported it onto the nacelle the same way it came into the quadrant. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but it'll stay on there.
It took one of the nacelles out or something, so they had to limp back home.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because the computer said 50% power or something.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We were limping.
You were limping back home.
Got it.
Well, in ops, the team watches as the runabout disappears through the wormhole. I like how Kira says, as you guys head into the wormhole, she's like, acknowledge Rio Grande. May the prophets guide you. It's very ominous in a way.
Yeah.
I actually don't even remember that
from her. You might not make it.
Yeah, you may not make it.
Yikes.
Well, better you than me, Dax.
Inside this wormhole, this is where I really thought the VFX were cool. This whole sequence.
Weren't they cool?
Yeah. Yeah, super cool. They're flying through the wormhole. The containment field starts failing because of Verderon nodes that are inside this wormhole. They're affecting it.
Yeah, and they're big. Yeah.
Big. Yeah, energy balls or something.
Yeah. That's what maybe felt like we looked like we were underwater too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had that quality.
Yeah, super cool. Very hard to pilot through here. I wish you had had Tom Paris. He could have gotten you through there.
I know. I wish I had had Tom Paris.
Yeah. Sorry I wasn't able to be there. But Arjun did a nice job. He got you through. He wasn't very confident, but Dax was really coaching him through it.
Yeah, there was one space where he was like,
less than 17 meters wide and the ship's 14 meters or 15 meters or something. Dax is like, that's 2 meters to work with.
No problem.
On each side, you've got 2 meters.
Yeah, you're fine. She coaches him through it. Long story short, they make it through and they decide it's time to put that proto-universe back where it belongs.
Yeah. They did have some problems though, because they had to stop, right? So then they had to...
Because of the containment field.
Yeah. And they were like,
just
allow the containment field to dissipate. We're not going to even mess with it. So that's why they had to be so careful to get around the nodes.
Super careful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, if we hit one of those nodes, we would have died.
I don't know if I'd call them a node. I'd just call it a big old Verderon ball. That darn ball.
Ball.
Yeah.
Well, they get there. They're going to put the thing back where it belongs. And a little time passes. We cut to the promenade. Arjun and Dax are coming out of the airlock. Arjun apologizes for his little temper tantrum. He does admit in this scene that he thought joining would make him feel complete, which I thought was a very vulnerable thing to say. Dax gives him some advice that there's going to be a lot of different lives, you know, in your head when you're a host.
Right.
There's other people's dreams. There's, you know, other lives living inside you, and it can be tough. But she said that she might recommend him. She's positive there.
Yeah.
I'm giving him hope.
Yeah. Giving him some hope.
And he's also grown too, because he says, well, I know what I have to do now. So he's into it. Mm-hmm. Dax says, good luck. And Arjun leaves, and I just love Dax's final line. I'm not Curzon. And that ends the episode. So good.
Yeah. Arjun says, what I mean is, you're nothing like I expected. And Dax says, I'm nothing like I expected.
Oh, right.
I just really thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Because I think all of us can relate to that. We surprise ourselves as we move through life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there are things that come up that we think, when we see it happen in somebody else's life before it happens to us, we think, oh, I could never handle that or deal with that or recover from that or forgive somebody for that. And then we do. And it's like, we surprise ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that dialogue there. It's very relatable for sure.
It's very Michael Piller.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere. We've got lots more after this message from our sponsor.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeldwyn. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeldwyn windows today. View our entire selection of Jeldwyn windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Robbie. Theme, moral, lesson.
Always be yourself. That's my lesson. Just be yourself.
Terry?
Yes, I had be true to yourself, to thine own self, be true.
Mm-hmm. We're on the same page. I said, believe in yourself. You are enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nice.
What is our theme poll from Majors, Captains, Admirals, and Prophets, Terry?
Submitted by Katie McCarty. Pursue your goals because you want to, not because it's what's expected of you.
Nice. Well said. Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
That's our recap and discussion of this episode. Just to remind everybody, the next episode, it will actually upload on September 9th at 12 midnight for Patreon patrons, and on September 10th at 12 midnight Eastern time for everybody else. So that is the episode Profit and Loss with Armin. So that's just a quick reminder. Next week, there will not be a new episode, but September 9th and 10th. Mm-hmm. All right. And for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. For everyone else, thanks for tuning in.